Save, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I had spinal surgery a couple of years ago, and it didn't go good. And so I'm from time to time in pain, which I have this morning. I took two high-powered narcotic pain pills before leaving home this morning. So if I fall asleep on the sermon, just let Jennifer come up and wake me up and I'll resume. Because I don't know what effect they're going to have. I also put a cough drop in my mouth. Cough drop can usually time about 20 minutes before it can cough. One Sunday I put a button instead of a cough drop in my mouth. And that was the Sunday we had an everlasting eternal sermon. So I made sure it was cough drop this morning, okay? In your company is one man that goes way back with my wife and me, John Rosen, who, when we were attending Our Savior Lutheran Church some years ago, he always helped my wife to the altar for communion. So I'm happy to see him here. Let me tell you about this gospel reading this morning. I read somewhere that it was entitled The Compassionate Fatigue. And I like that title, and that's why I gave it as the title for the sermon today. I can identify with it. Jesus had been teaching in different places along the Sea of Galilee. This was the headquarters for him. When he left Nazareth after they had tried to throw him over a mountain because of what he had to say, he went to Capernaum, and that was where headquarters was set up. On one of the Holy Land trips, June and I made, we were at Capernaum on a Sunday morning. Another group from the United Church of Christ had a few members of that church on this Holy Land trip, and the two of us clergy joined together handful of people, and we were sitting on a rock at Capernaum overlooking the Sea of Galilee. We were interrupted with the sound of a boat coming along the shore. They had laid the nets. The fishermen were taking paddles and hitting the water to scare the fish into the nets. It was quite a show and tell for us because three fishermen were in the boat. Maybe Peter, James, and John. But the difference was that they had a five horsepower motor on their boat, where Peter, James, and John had to paddle all the way. Jesus had been teaching along that sea, and he was tired. And he came to the disciples, and he says, "Let's go to a quiet place and rest." They also were tired because he had sent them earlier, one of the earlier readings of Mark's Gospel, and sent them out to pray for people, to lay hands on them, to anoint them with oil. And they came back and they had a glorious report to give to Jesus about the success of their ministry. They too were tired. They wanted to rest. And so they went ashore, wanting to give Jesus a report of what had happened in their ministry and to hear more of the good things that he had to share. I can identify with that. I'm tired. 25 years in the pastoral ministry, and then 25 years in mission support ministry, I'm tired. At home care, my wife, who is in final stages of Lewy body dementia and Parkinson, there are nights that she might not sleep. I sleep in a bed about 6 feet from her hospital bed. When the care provider leaves at 7 o'clock, I'm on duty the rest of the night until 8 o'clock the next morning. Some nights I have to get up and pray with her and comfort her and assure her that I'm in the room with you and I'm not going to leave you, honey. Most nights she sleeps. But if my sleep is disturbed, the next morning after breakfast, I sit on the sofa in the living room watching the news on TV and fall asleep. If I have some place to go, like this morning, I tell her care provider, be sure to wake me, and I'll give them a time. If I'm not going anyplace, I might sleep through the news, might sleep through Maddox, and might sleep through the Lone Ranger, or whatever program that might be on the TV at the time. I'm tired. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever have those times when, just leave me alone, I just want to sleep, I want to rest? This was with Jesus. He wanted to rest. And so they get on the boat. I'm not sure where their embarkation was, but they were headed out towards Capernaum. People saw Jesus, maybe some of those that he had ministered to earlier, and they ran around the Sea of Galilee, watching how the boat was heading, getting ready to be there when he got off the boat. He was tired. But 5,000 people were waiting for him. Now I say 5,000 because in between the two readings that Jennifer gave this morning is a story of the feeding of the 5,000. Each gospel records this story, and they say 5,000 men. But there are also family members, a wife, children. So I would think probably 10,000 is a reasonable number to consider, maybe even more than that. These people wanted to hear more of what Jesus had to say. Jewish calendar calls for what is called a Sabbath rest. We're in that Sabbath rest this morning, so to speak. The creation story says that God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. If God needs a day of rest, I sure do need a day of rest. What about you? Blessed are the people who take that day of rest and include a time of worship to the Lord in it. Because this gives not only rest for the body, but it gives also a replenishing of rest for the soul. There were times in my pastoral years that my rest got interrupted. Sometimes it was 3 o'clock in the morning I'd get called to the hospital. It was okay. That was part of my calling. You have no idea, probably, how many times Dr. Bryant gets called out in the middle of the night to the hospital. He doesn't come in here Sunday morning and say, well, I went out to the hospital in such and such a time and such a day. He doesn't tell you about those things because that's part of his calling. And he welcomes those opportunities, just as Jesus welcomed the opportunity to feed the 5,000 plus, to lay hands on those that were sick, to cast out demons, to bring relief to the suffering. Pastor cherishes that. These 10,000 or plus people that were waiting for him to get off the boat, they wanted to hear more of his teachings. They enjoyed the rabbinical teachings that the rabbis had given. Jesus made them come alive. It wasn't just some do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But the teachings that even had the restrictions embodied in them, he brought them alive to the people. They could relate to them. They could see even they were part of it. And in this gospel reading this morning, Jesus looks at these people and he says, sees them as sheep without a shepherd. They were people that the rabbis didn't really give much attention to. The priests in the temple were more concerned about keeping ordinances than the word of ministry to the people. Even when Jesus allowed the disciples to pick wheat, grains of wheat on the Sabbath day, they scorned him because he didn't keep the law. Jesus loved the people. He cared for them. And while they enjoyed his teachings, they welcomed any ministry that he had to give to them and to their loved ones. There's something hidden in this scripture that I want you to understand this morning. While the people had gone distances to him on foot, they didn't have chariots, they didn't have horses, they didn't have camels to ride. They had to go by foot. And they figured out where he was going to land, and they got there waiting for him. Jesus not only cared for their spiritual needs, but he also cared for their physical needs. He not only taught them the scriptures, he not only shared with them the good news, but he also fed their empty stomachs. So the time came when Jesus was ready to take another rest. And he asked the disciples to give them something to eat. They didn't have anything to eat. Now in this part of the scripture that's between what Jennifer read this morning is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And it's an interesting account because Jesus turns to Philip, who was a resident of this area where they were ministering. And he says to Philip, go get something food for these. Philip says, Jesus, there's not enough markets in the place, and we don't have enough money to be able to buy to feed this multitude. I wish Philip had said it differently. I wish he had said, Jesus, there's no way we can, through physical ways, but you can make a miracle and you can feed them. And then the story of one of the accounts tells us that one of the disciples named Andrew found a little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They were barley loaves. Affluent people didn't eat barley loaves. You fed them to the animals. So this would say to us that this child came from a poor family. And what might have been his attitude when Andrew takes his little bag lunch and says to Jesus, here, this is all that's available. Miracle happened. The multitude is fed. And when that is finished, Jesus says, let's go and rest like I asked in the beginning. And they get in the boat and they set sail. I got a question to ask you. Take a moment to think about it. Why did so many people come to Jesus? Now realize, they had to make an effort. Just as you and I had to make an effort to get here this morning. Transfer that question to yourself. Why did you come this morning? Why do you come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? You could stay home. If I had not been asked by Dr. Brown to do the service today, I would probably attend St. Mattress by the Pillow. You're awake. You got that one. There are times that I probably would have better worship with God sitting on the sofa sleeping than sitting in a chair in a church. Why do we come? Oh, you might say, well, I had needs and I come. I want to express those needs to God and see if Jesus will do something for my need. Maybe a force of habit. That's okay. I don't remember a Sunday that I was not in church growing up. I thought my grandfather had the only keys to Fort Hill Methodist Church. He was the first one there, the last one to leave. There were times that I sat on his knee to listen to the preacher. We go for various reasons. You're here this morning for various reasons. Just as those that went to Jesus at the Sea of Galilee for various reasons. And whatever they were, Jesus recognized those and he did something to help them. I got another question for you. These people that came to Jesus wanting help from him, receiving bread and fish when they were hungry, where were they when Jesus was tried, condemned, and crucified? You know, the truth is, if we tell it, we come to Jesus to get what we want and forget to say thank you. We sang a hymn a little bit ago, "Give Thanks." I believe ingratitude is probably the worst sin that we commit. We think of other things that we say, well, that's worse. No. Jesus had 10 lepers to appear before him. He healed them. How many came back to give thanks? One. Where were these people that got the ministry that Jesus gave to them along the Sea of Galilee? Did they thank him? We don't know. The only account that we have is that one Samaritan leper that came back to thank Jesus while the 9 Jewish lepers went on to the city. I remember reading one time about the story of angels in heaven cataloging prayers that the people offered. And the angels that were offering, cataloging the want me prayers, need me prayers, were just exhausted. But the one little angel that was cataloging the thank you prayers had time on its hands. In a few minutes we're going to be given bread and wine. Matthew, Mark, and Luke records it as the Lord's Supper, the night before he was arrested and tried and crucified. John, in his gospel account, oftentimes does not give details of things that happened in Jesus' ministry. It's almost like it's a mystery. It's something so supernatural that I can't really describe it to you. And such is the case of the communion. In the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, he gives an accounting of Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. He who eats this bread will live forever." And regardless of what explanation or commentary denominations place on the Holy Communion, it's still God's way of ministering to us. We're dealing with a supernatural God. We're not supernatural people. We're natural people. And when God tries to deal with us in a supernatural way, we just don't understand him. You've got a baptismal font at the door. You know why it's sitting there at the door? A lot of churches don't even display one until there's going to be a baptism. You pass that baptismal font because it's God's natural way of saying it is through baptism that you get into the body of Christ. It is God's way of saying, through this water, you are forgiven and you are made a member of the church. And so in a little bit, we're going to take a piece of bread, we're going to dip it in a cup. And Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. What I want us to understand this morning is this is more than just a little formality. This is more than just something we do each Sunday in remembrance. It is something that God is giving to us right now. And one of the ways in which God indwells us, that when we leave here this morning, we're taking Jesus with us through the offering of bread and wine. We may not think about it. We may not even realize it. But I hope this morning that when we leave here, we might say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Because in taking that piece of bread, you're taking a sign of God's forgiveness. You're taking a sign of God's acceptance. I pause on that because oftentimes we may not think that God really accepts us very much. I don't care who we are, what we've done, how sinful we have been. God accepts us. That's the whole reason that Jesus came. That was the primary message that Jesus wanted the people around the Sea of Galilee to understand. God accepts you. God loves you. God forgives you. God gives to us resurrected life. And so when Jesus got in the boat, took off again, they watched him. He got on the boat here. I think he's going to land over there. And they ran around the Sea of Galilee, and when he got off the boat, there they were waiting for him again. No rest for the weary. Seeing is believing. We've heard those things. Jesus did not say to them, oh, get lost. I'm tired. Tired of fooling with you people. No. He showed compassion even in his fatigue. He loved them. And he gave to them. And this is who he is this morning with us. That when we come to worship him, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Here we are. He's here. He's giving of himself to us. And in a very natural way, God and man are at table set down. And he gives to us himself. That when we leave here this morning, we leave in thanksgiving that he goes with us to bless us and to sustain us. Pray with me. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Whether the others that receive your blessing along the Sea of Galilee said thank you, we don't know. We don't know where they were when you were tried, crucified. But here we are this morning. And we thank you. For we celebrate the resurrection. And we receive you into our bodies through the bread and through the cup. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I look to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk, till traveling days are done.
Broken down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile and between you and us. He has created in himself one new humanity and reconciled us to you in one body through the cross. So we gladly thank you, no longer as strangers and aliens, but as citizens with the saints and members of your household, proclaiming with the company of heaven and the praise of your glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, O the Lamb in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, O the Lamb in the highest.
God of peace, you brought again from the dead your Son Jesus Christ and made in him a holy temple where we could be one with you. Send your Spirit upon your people, that we may be built together into your holy place. As you promised your children that you would build a house to abide with them, sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us a dwelling place for your Son, the body and blood of Christ Jesus our Lord, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Resurrecting and restoring God, your Son had compassion on the crowd, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. As he made the journey across the lake to be with your people in their distress, so you sent him to be incarnate among us and share our human struggle. Bless all who long to touch the fringe of his cloak today. Comfort any who are at sea in body, mind, or spirit. Visit those who rely on others to bring them to you. Strengthen your servants who need to retreat to a deserted place all by themselves and rest a while. Cherish your children who have crossed over the lake to be with you, and give hope to those who stand fearfully on the shore, until the day when healing becomes salvation, and salvation becomes your company, and your company is the fullness of joy. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat, and drink, and give thanks.